Today we have the joy of not only proclaiming the Word of God on the Lord's Day and worshiping God on the Lord's Day, the first day of the week on Sunday, but just this special, I guess once every 7 years, this wonderful reality of Christmas Eve as well on Sunday, Lord's Day. Just a special day in the life of the pastor. And again, just want to invite everyone back over tonight at 4. I think you'll be blessed if you come over tonight at 4. Luke chapter 2, we just read that very familiar text of verses 1 through 7. Everyone here has heard that probably many, many times. But if you would be so kind this morning, I want to do something perhaps that you've never even fathomed or thought about. I want to talk to you on Christmas Eve about the faith of an Old Testament saint by the name of Simeon. And I want us to look at verses 25 through 35 in Luke chapter 2. Turn there with me, please, in your Bible. For all of our visitors and friends and relatives and family members who are just coming in here for the Christmas weekend, etc., and the New Year's holiday, we have been going hard in the book of Ephesians here at Calvary Bible Church, and we've been talking about the great subject of faith. And it's been a thrilling study in Ephesians 2 that the grace and the faith that God gives are gifts that we would not boast. And so all of the Christian life is really exemplified in this American tradition of gift giving, as God gives us the greatest gift of all, the gift of his Son. Such a profound, profound thought. And as I was trying to put my thoughts together, the challenge of the pastor this time of year is just to try to give something that is maybe off the beaten path to the point where it really might shake something with someone. It had that effect on me as I was preparing Luke 2:25 through 35 related to the faith of Simeon. And everything in our Christian church, our Christian life, our Christian testimony, our Christian theology, really think with me, it starts and ends with this subject of faith. And faith is an underrated aspect of the Christian church, the Christian Bible, the Christian gospel, and really the Christmas season in general. It's faith in Christ. Let's read together Luke chapter 2. You're going to see this come through related to this Old Testament hero named Simeon. Let's pick it up in verse 21. Luke chapter 2, verse 21. And when 8 days had passed before his circumcision, his name was then called Jesus, the name given by the angel before he was conceived in the womb. And when the days for his purification, according to the law of Moses, were completed, they brought him up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every firstborn male that opens the womb shall be called holy to the Lord, verse 24, and to offer a sacrifice according to what was said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves and 2 young pigeons. Bow your heads, let's pray. Dear God, as we enter into this section, this somewhat obscure section related to Simeon and his faith, I really pray for your precious ones, the ones that you've drawn here today. In your sovereign will, you've, in this time and space, on this day, on this morn, you've drawn these precious ones here. And my prayer for them is that you would speak to them, and that our faith in Christ would be strengthened, and that we would worship Jesus, the newborn King, this morning, in his name, for his purpose, for his glory. Amen. Look at verse 25. Let's pick it up in verse 25. And there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. Let's just take that much. And so here we meet the main character of our text this morning. We meet an Old Testament, Old Covenant believer by the name of Simeon. And it's very interesting, every single thing we know about him comes from these brief 10 verses in Luke chapter 2, 25 through 35. But Simeon, in the providence of God, is a picture of faith, an illustration of faith, a type of faith, an analogy of faith, a living, breathing billboard of what it means to have faith. And really, if you've ever taken on our trip from Wisconsin into Minnesota, you have to go over Lake Superior, and one of the well-known suspension bridges in our country is that great bridge that goes over Lake Superior that connects Superior to Duluth, Minnesota, from Superior, Wisconsin. And that bridge, the first time you go there and you see that bridge stare you in the face in the distance, you're saying to yourself, I'm going over that. But in some ways, Simeon is like that suspension bridge, and he's connecting the Old Covenant, the Old Testament, with the New Testament. It's just a fascinating character, a fascinating picture that God included this in the narrative in Luke chapter 2. And so what's so special about Simeon? Really, he is a super common name. You remember Simeon was one of the names of the 12 tribes of Israel from the second son of Jacob by Leah. That's Genesis 29:33. And the Bible, look at verse 25, go back in there with me. The Bible uses two words to describe Simeon. Look at it with me in your Bible. Righteous and devout. Some of your Bibles say just and devout. Two words that describe Simeon's character, his spiritual state. Let's start with the term righteous here. What does it mean? It means that God declared Simeon righteous. It means that Simeon was in a right standing, a right relationship with God. It means that Simeon understood and comprehended at some point in his life he could not attain righteousness. He could not earn righteousness. He could not gain righteousness, achieve righteousness by ceremonies, sacrifices, good works, worship, etc., etc., etc. There was a point in Simeon's time in his life where he got down on his knees and he cried out to God and he said, God, I believe that you are sending a deliverer and a savior. And I put my faith in him as my Messiah, as my Savior. And that point came for Simeon, and because of that he was pronounced righteous. And it's very interesting, being pronounced righteous by Holy God causes someone to live in a different way. And that's where the second word comes in here, devout. Being devout / devoted to the things of God is a result of being pronounced righteous by God. Tremendous theology. And you really see that in the life of Simeon, again as a bridge marching us toward the new covenant. Look at verse 25. I love this. Look at verse 25. Simeon was looking for the consolation of Israel. Just take that much. Let me help you see this. Simeon was looking for the consolation of Israel. You see it in verse 25? For the careful Bible student, that term, the consolation of Israel, is a glorious, glorious term that the prophet Isaiah uses. And it's the idea of God comforting his people with this promise of a future anointed one. And really, you see this in Isaiah 57:18. God speaking to suffering people says, I have seen his ways, and I will heal him. I will lead him. I will restore comfort to him. Isaiah 57:18. That is the power of Christ, Messiah, God, to restore people, to heal people back to spiritual health. Back to verse 25. Simeon was looking for the consolation of Israel. Tremendous. It's a statement of what? Faith. Don't miss that. It's a statement of faith. And you say, what compelled Simeon to look for Messiah? Well, it was the Word of God, the law of God, the prophets, the writings. Simeon was a man who was immersed in the Old Testament. And through his reading and understanding of the Old Testament, God revealed to him the reality that indeed Messiah would one day come. And he had faith, Simeon had faith with a capital F, that God would make good on that promise. And his faith is a powerful picture of true faith that God gives as a gift. And he had this faith in what the prophets said would come to pass. Simeon, if you miss everything else this morning in our meditation, in our time in the Word of God, just leave with this ringing thought that Simeon was a man of tremendous, tremendous faith. He believed what the Bible said. He believed what the Old Testament said concerning God and the coming of the consolation, the coming of Messiah Christ God. And he was looking. He was expecting. He was searching, anticipating. He was waiting for Messiah. What makes Simeon's faith so noteworthy is the reality that he never had the New Testament Bible that you hold today in your hand. He didn't have that to inform him regarding all the details of the miraculous Jesus, his life, his words, his works, his death, his resurrection, his miracles. How much easier is it today? We have a testimony before us in the Word of God to read related to the testimony of eyewitnesses concerning his miracles, his words, his works. Simeon didn't have the benefit. All he had was the Old Testament promise. And so he had faith that what God said would come to pass. And I want you to notice, go back to verse 25. Notice another important point about Simeon. I love this. Look at it with me, verse 25. The Bible says the Holy Spirit was upon him. Just for a moment or two, let me just help you understand the ministry of the Holy Spirit in the Old Testament, in the Old Covenant. When you think about the Holy Spirit in the life of an Old Covenant believer, an Old Testament saint, and that describes Simeon, by the way. There are two key aspects of the Holy Spirit's ministry in the Old Testament believer. First, it was to empower the Old Testament saint for a special spiritual service / ministry. Second, it was the Holy Spirit that indeed worked in the heart to allow a person to make the connection and see that the Old Testament sacrifices and ceremonies were pointing to something much greater, the coming of this deliverer. The Old Testament saints were saved by grace through faith in the promise of the coming one, the promise of Messiah. And the Holy Spirit was a very important part of this process. Indeed, the Holy Spirit did not indwell the Old Testament saint believer in a New Covenant, New Testament sense the way he indwells the New Testament Christian, but the Holy Spirit then and now is necessary to see the truth of God's Son, Messiah, Christ, Savior, Lord. In the same way, the Holy Spirit anointing allowed the other Old Testament prophets and priests and kings and godly men and women alike to have these special ministries. The Holy Spirit gave Simeon a special ministry. The first thing the Holy Spirit revealed to Simeon. Now let's go forward in verse 26. All of that in some ways is a background and an introduction. Let's move forward. Look at verse 26. It had been revealed to Simeon by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. Verse 26. One writer said, "The constant excitement of living in messianic times, eagerly anticipating the appearance of Christ on any given day, week, month, must have been a powerful motivation for Simeon to examine his heart regularly. He wanted to be sure he was full and ready for this special event." End quote. God the Holy Spirit told Simeon he would not leave this earth until he saw Messiah, Christ God, with his own eyes, and Simeon lived believing that promise. Look at verse 27. Let's go forward. Look at verse 27. If you've never meditated on this, studied this, or if you're not familiar with this, it just gives me so much joy. I don't know if I've ever told this story before, but when God got a hold of me in a real way, I think I've told this before. It was the day before Thanksgiving, back in 1993, and so, I mean, it's right before the Christmas season. And my first reading through the Bible, this passage had such a honest-to-goodness profound impact on me. I mean, without commentary, without Bible teacher, without a sermon, just reading this had such an impact on me as a brand new Christian, as a single guy. I mean, I never sent out a Christmas card in my life. But then God got a hold of me, and I went to the... Back then, you'd go to the mall to buy stuff. Now you just go to the mall to hear bells and you know, walk around and talk to people and have taco time. But back then, you'd go... Or McDonald's. But back then, you'd go to the mall, and you'd actually buy stuff. Now you just buy everything online. And so, I went to the mall, and I went to the Christmas card store. I mean, they don't even have that anymore. And I honestly look for a card. This has such an impact on me. I look for a card that had this text, Luke 2, 25 through 35. And I actually found one. And I sent out these Christmas cards. Look at verse 27. Because this had an impact on me, and I've prayed that this would have an impact on you today. Look at verse 27. Simeon came in the Holy Spirit into the temple. And when the parents, Mary and Joseph, brought in the child Jesus to carry out for him the custom of the law, then he took him into his arms and blessed God. Just take that much. Now, if you're even following this, like, with 50% of your attention, you come and read verse 27. I mean, this is just, you should be overcome with emotion here. I mean, you can't feel anything but joy for this old man Simeon. And the Bible is such a book of drama. It's a book of tremendous human characters and stories and drama. And here you have this man who is old and gray and shaking and feeble and weak and he's at the end of his life, but he's holding on to his faith. He's holding on to his faith that he would not pass from this life. He would not take his last breath until he saw with his own eyes the Christ. And on this particular day, Simeon is in the temple. Like so many other days where the godly Jew would go to hear the word of God and the worship of God, he would find himself in the temple, and on this day he was in the temple. And I can't resist look at the word temple in verse 27. The Bible is so precise. Luke uses the specific word for the big area, the court of women here. And he needed to use that word because this was accessible to Mary. And we don't know exactly how this transpired. But the Holy Spirit guided Simeon to the temple that day. And Mary and Joseph brought the baby Jesus to Simeon. We don't know exactly how it transpired, but perhaps Joseph was holding the baby, and Mary and Joseph are walking together among all those people in the courtyard, and the people are mingling and walking back and forth. And then at the very same time, here comes this godly Saint Simeon walking toward them with a look of peace and contentment and joy and fulfillment on his face, a look of excitement and wonder and anticipation, that look that you see people have when they're looking, expecting, looking for something or expecting something. And God, through the Holy Spirit, made known to Joseph and Mary that they needed to meet someone that day. And with the Holy Spirit directing all of this in the sovereignty of God, there you have Mary and Joseph walking with the baby, and they meet Simeon. And right then and there, Simeon knew. He looked at the face of the baby Jesus, and Simeon knew this was Messiah, Christ, God, the one God promised through the prophets, the one promised to meet Simeon before he died. And Simeon took the child into his arms. You talk about a dramatic event. Simeon takes the child into his arms. And this drama is coming to culmination, and it's built on a life of faith and expectation and trusting God and hearing God's leading. And now that moment is finally realized. Extraordinary drama. As Simeon looks into the face of God, looking back at him. And I want you to notice what Simeon says. Look at verse 29. Luke chapter 2, verse 29 through 32. I had the joy by God's grace to grow up in a home where we went to church every Sunday. We went to the Missouri Synod Lutheran Church, which was fundamental. They believed in the law, the sinfulness of man, the total depravity of man, and the grace of God, and the gospel of Christ as Savior and Lord, received by grace through faith alone. I'm so thankful. My parents took me to church every week. And it's interesting, in the Lutheran church, every other Sunday, two times a month, you partake of the Lord's Supper. And it's they do it a little differently than we do. You come up in groups of 12, and then there's a long table up in the front, and the pastor's behind the table, and he administers the bread and the cup to 12 people at a time, and then those 12 go sit down, and then another 12 come up, and until everyone in the church has partake of communion together. And then at the end of communion, the pastor raises his hands, and everyone in the church stands together. And in the Lutheran church, you sing together the Nunc Dimittis. It's the Latin translation from the great Latin Vulgate of this first stanza. Look in your Bible with me at Luke 2:29. Now, Lord, you are releasing your bondservant to depart in peace according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the presence of all the peoples, a light of revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel. In the Latin, it's Nunc Dimittis. Servum tuum, Domine secundum, verum tuum impasse. And the congregation stands together, and you sing this glorious, glorious song of praise. Listen to it. I found a recording of it. If you would be so kind, this is the Nunc Dimittis. Praise God. Praise God. In conclusion of our service, we'll try to sing that together as we close as an act of worship. But let's go forward in this text, Luke 2, 29 through 32. Excuse me. Luke 29 through 32. It's very interesting. This is the fourth psalm of praise now connected to the birth of Jesus that flow out of the lives of these Old Testament saints who were so overwhelmed in their hearts. They desired simply now to worship God in song. And you really see that in this psalm of praise by Simeon. Look at verse 29. Let me try to help you understand this. Simeon says, now I can die. I'm ready to pass from this world. I can depart, the Bible says, in peace, according to the promise of your word. One writer said, Simeon had lived to see what God had promised. Verse 30, look at it. For my eyes have seen your salvation. Out of all of the Old Testament saints and prophets and priests and kings and other godly people through the Old Testament history who were believers, genuine believers in God, genuine believers in Messiah, Simeon finally got to see God. He got to see Christ with his own eyes. You think about it with me. What a unique privilege that would be. Moses never saw Messiah. David never saw Christ. Abraham never saw God's Savior. And now he's holding the baby in his arms, looking into the eyes of God and singing this psalm of worship. Verse 31, which you have prepared in the presence of all people. Verse 32, a light of revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel. Simeon was so enlightened by the Holy Spirit. He was unlike his Jewish brethren who thought Messiah was only for the Jewish people. The Jews had a hatred for Gentiles. In the ministry today, you can't even cross that bridge of the centuries, the hatred of Jews and Gentiles at the time of Jesus. The thought of Gentiles being included into God's covenant, this was repulsive to the Jew. The thought of Gentiles being obedient to God, reverent to God, worshipers of God, it was untenable to the Jew. And so here you have Simeon saying, Messiah is not only for the Jew, he's for the Gentile. For us, all of us this morning. Only the Holy Spirit could give Simeon such insight, such wisdom, proven in the fact that this was promised in the Old Testament, but it was never really comprehended, it was never believed by the other Jews of Simeon's day. One writer said, even the most faithful and righteous of the believing Jews could not imagine that God's salvation would include people beyond Israel. Look at the response of Mary. I love this. Mary and Joseph, verse 33, this is delightful. The Bible is so understated. It never tries to dress up the truth in attractive garments. It just lays the truth forward. You really see that in verse 33. His father and mother were amazed at the things which were being said about him. Mary's like 15, 16 at the most. She's just a kid, a teenager. And Joseph is probably a young 20-something. And we underestimate how overwhelmed Mary and Joseph must have been at the thought of Jesus, God incarnate, God's Holy One, as their own child. We don't often talk about that. And they were overwhelmed. They were amazed. Notice the change of mood from verse 33, amazement and wonder of Mary and Joseph, to verses 34 and 35. Notice this with me. Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, behold, this child is appointed to the fall and rise of many in Israel, and for a sign to be opposed, and a sword will pierce even your own soul, to the end that the thoughts from many hearts may be revealed. Look at that phrase in verse 34. This child is appointed to the fall and rise of many in Israel. Look at that phrase in verse 34. And so we're moving now from this biblical drama to just straightforward proclamation of truth. The Bible always does this. You go from these highest highs, these high moments of emotional drama, to just biblical truth in all of its fullness. Simeon, in the power of the Holy Spirit, is saying to Mary, look, your son, Jesus, is the hinge on which every man's destiny swings. Mary, your son, Jesus, is the bridge that people will choose to walk across into a right relationship with God, or he is the bridge that people will spurn in favor of trying to find their own bridge to God. Mary, your son, Jesus, will make many fall, but some will rise by faith, by belief. And notice with me, this is the first negative thought in the whole Christmas narrative. But the negative aspect of God's Christ is not to be missed when we think about the historical person and work of the Lord Jesus. Not only will Jesus be a dividing point of many, Jesus will cause your own soul, Mary, look at verse 25, to be pierced. A sword, verse 25, will pierce even your own soul. In other words, Mary, this child is going to cause you pain. When he's crucified, Mary, this child will cause you pain that no one could even fathom. And history has proven all of this to be true. Look at verses 34 and 35. All of this has come to pass. The Lord Jesus Christ separates people, families, nations, husbands, wives, brothers, sisters. The truth, the one way to heaven, separates people. And not only separates, but the person of Christ often moves from separation to opposition among people. Not only do they separate, the Jewish leaders are an example how they did not believe, but that then turned into a genuine hateful opposition. And finally, this is proven in the fact that Mary suffered unspeakable, literal pain when she witnessed the crucifixion. Notice the last half of verse 35. As we come to conclusion, notice the last half of verse 35, to the end, that thoughts from many hearts may be revealed. We stop right here. As we close on the Lord's Day, Christmas Eve, let me try to encourage you this morning. The person of Christ, the historical Jesus, this message today, really, like a magnifying glass, like a truth serum, reveals what is in the heart of a person, a man, a woman, or a child. The gospel, the Bible, the historic theology of Christianity, the fundamentals of the faith, the life, death, the resurrection of Jesus, the message that pastors are proclaiming all across our country this morning. In every city, they're proclaiming this message of the free gift of eternal life through Christ by faith. This person, this historical Jesus, reveals what is in the heart. And this message that we're talking about this morning has that effect on every single person in this room. Nothing has changed through the centuries. The opposition of the masses this morning throughout the world reveals the wickedness inherent in the heart of man. And the person of Christ does that. No other person, no other religious figure has that effect to be the dividing point of the heart. And you really see that come to fruition in this text. I was reading the news yesterday, and I think you probably saw this, a great illustration. There's that family, I think it was in Pennsylvania. And they were decorating their house, and outside of their house there was a large bush, and they just had a banner that said Jesus on it. You probably saw this in the news. And it was it was a nice banner. It was a white banner with green letters, I think, with like red trim. I saw a picture of it. And they put that banner up in their own yard. And immediately, I mean, there was this outcry in the neighborhood. And it was unbelievable, and they went to the powers that be. I don't know if it was a condo association or if it was the, or they went down to the courthouse or the police station or wherever it was, but they just made all kinds of uproar, the people in this community, about this family having the name Jesus on their bush, on a banner. And I'm thinking, that's an illustration of the passage we're talking about here in Luke 2:25 through 35, specifically this idea that the Lord Jesus reveals the heart of man. The rejection of Christ reveals the sinfulness of man's heart. And nothing has changed through the centuries. People believe, they worship, they receive Christ as Lord, and they're forgiven of their sins. But for countless others, they reject, they trivialize, they put it off. They don't see the significance. I was just talking to an old friend. He said in his church, it's gotten to the point where the only time anyone's there anymore is on Christmas and Easter. It just brings a tear to my eye. Why even go on Christmas and Easter if you don't believe the gospel? The person of Christ has that effect on people. He divides, but he gives the offer of eternal life to every single person, every sinner. He gives this free grace to forgive our sins. And I was thinking in conclusion, it's gotten to the point where good people like us, true believers, sometimes we have the wrong impression that the Bible, Christ, the church, the Word of God, all of this is kind of on trial. And if we lose the trial of public opinion, all of a sudden Christ will be erased from our country and our lives and our families and our world. That is false. Christ, the Bible, the Word of God, Jesus, Christmas, none of this is on trial. God has placed His stamp of approval and authenticity on Christ like no other religious figure, prophet, priest, king, cult, by the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. And our attitude as we come to conclusion related to Christ reveals only one thing. What is in our heart? It reveals nothing about the truth, just what is in your heart. Jesus is Lord, He is God, He is Christ, He is Messiah. The whole earth will bow before Him. And the child is appointed for the fall and the rise of many. And many today will come in faith and they'll worship Christ, the newborn King. He's a light of revelation to the Gentiles and a glory to God's people Israel.